Take your Bible to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. I don't know about you. Maybe you have a favorite passage of Scripture or favorite passages of Scripture. And I'll really be honest with you, I do not really have that. But if I had favorite passages, this right here would be at least in the top five, okay? I love reading this every time I read this account. It stirs my soul. I get happy. I want to do a little shouting and just have a good time, all right? Because I love what happens in this chapter and what is said. And I want to use it tonight, but I want to use it. Maybe some preachers would say I'm going to misuse it, all right? Because we're going to preach from this chapter. So what do you mean? I mean, I'm going to start here and we're leaving from it, okay? But this is our text. So if you will, Acts 27, look at verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Can you imagine being on that ship and hearing the Apostle Paul say, I tried to tell you. I told you not to do it, but you ignored me. But I got good news. Everybody's going to be okay. We're just going to lose this ship. Now, you're in the middle of a storm on the Mediterranean Sea, okay? You haven't seen the light of day for days. None of that. I'm just telling you, you think about how you'd have felt. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. But you notice Paul said that, for I believe God. And I'll be honest with you, what I want to do is I want to preach to you on the subject of since I believe God. Since I believe God. Listen, the Apostle Paul is not stating a circumstance that had just started on this voyage to Rome. It wasn't on the voyage to Rome that Paul suddenly said, you know, I just think I believe God. It didn't start there, okay? It had been a long time. It's evident from looking at his life that he believed God. But obviously, this particular statement in verse 25 is tied to the circumstances he was experiencing that day and had been experiencing for several days. Hey, the storm had been and it was raging. It was so bad that even seasoned sailors were concerned about how bad it was, okay? Even those seasoned sailors were sweating it, all right? But in the darkness of that night, God had appeared to Paul and let him know everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. He said, Paul, you've got an appointment to meet with Caesar. He said, you're going to see him. You're going to be able to witness to him. And that night vision gave Paul the confidence to stand up before the crew the next day and the soldiers that were on that ship and let them know, no need to worry about your life. Everything's going to be all right. You see, believing God affected Paul. Believing God, it affected him. It affected what he thought. It affected what he felt. And what he did, all right? Can I say this to you? That ought to be true of every believer. If you're a blood-bought child of God, the fact that you believe God ought to have its effect on you. But I'll be honest with you. I've noticed that oftentimes it seems like there's a host of professing believers that don't seem to be affected very much by what they claim to believe. Now, to me, that is extremely sad. It shouldn't be that way. And as I said, I want to take this scripture and really starting here, if you will, speak to you on the subject of since I believe God. Now, God hasn't spoken to me in a dream, okay? I did dream last night, but I don't think God had anything to do with it. All right, dream is just a dream. But I'll say this to you, he does speak to me every time I pick up his book. Every time I pick up his book, he speaks to me. So I just want you to consider this, since I believe God, number one, I'll not spend my life worrying. I will not spend my life worrying. When I was a young boy in Sunday school, I learned that great course, why worry when you can pray? Why worry when you can pray? I was just a little boy in Sunday school, third, fourth, fifth grade, sixth grade. I remember singing that course, why worry? How many of you know the course? Know the course, all right? How many of you don't know the course? Be honest, I've never heard it. Okay, there you go. See, I've often thought since then we teach it at the wrong time. When I was in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, I didn't worry. I mean, I didn't worry. I didn't get up in the morning and think, man, wonder where the next meal's coming from. I didn't worry about that. It's coming from the kitchen. I'm going in there, we're going to eat. I didn't worry about those kind of things. I didn't worry about how we're going to meet the mortgage payment. I didn't even know if there was a mortgage payment, all right? I didn't worry about any of those things. I didn't worry. We need to teach that chorus to adults. Why worry when you can pray? Well, I'll tell you, since I believe God, I'm not going to spend my life worrying. Take your Bible and fill over to Proverbs chapter 24, all right? Proverbs chapter 24. We'll just go through a few scriptures tonight, and I just try to encourage you. I'll try to preach fast. I do have about 5 or 6 points in the sermon tonight, so I better preach fast, right? But Proverbs chapter 29. I finally found Proverbs, all right? Proverbs 24, not 29. Proverbs chapter 24, would you look down at verse 19? Verse 19 says, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked." Now keep your finger right there and let's go back to Psalms. The 37th Psalm, if you would. The 37th Psalm, look down there to verse 7. The 37th Psalm, verse 7. Won't you notice again what the Bible says? "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I said, since I believe God, I'm not going to spend my life worrying. I'm sure not going to spend my life worrying about the wicked and what they're doing. Not going to spend my life thinking about that. I'm going to do what God says because I believe what he says. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Now, I watch the wicked and I see what they do. And oftentimes we look and we say, well, they seem to be triumphing. Just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, okay? Wait on him. I believe that. I don't spend your life worrying about them, all right? You say, "Preacher, I don't spend my life worrying about them. I worry about me and what's going on with me." Why do you need to do that? Why do you need to do that? Hebrews chapter 13, all right? Hebrews chapter 13. I found out a long time ago, and I heard somebody say this, or I read it. He said, there's two things in life you can worry about. Said two things you worry about, things you can do something about and things you can't do anything about. He said, the things you can do something about, don't worry about them, just do what you can do. And the things you can't do anything about, what's worrying going to help? It won't help you at all, but I see a ton of Christians that spend their life worrying about things. You said, what do you believe that's going to keep you from doing that? Look at verse 5, Hebrews 13. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." Now here it is, "for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Boy, what a promise. What a promise. You talk about not needing to worry. Why? Because he said, I'll always be with you. Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, don't worry about it. I will never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Yeah, but I'm having problems and I don't have that. Wait a minute. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 comes in because the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his glory in Christ Jesus. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If I'm going to quote it, or to quote it right, right? Hey, I don't need to worry. Why? He said, I'll supply all your need. I supply all your need. He'll take care of it, all right? I believe that. I'm just dumb enough to believe when he says, I'll supply your need, that he'll do it. He'll do it. I just have enough faith in him. I believe you, Lord. Because of that, why should I worry about those things? Why should you worry about them? Don't spend your life worrying if you believe God. If you believe him, accept the fact that he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll supply all of your need, you can count on it. You may struggle a time or two, and you may think, well, I need to worry. Go ahead, but it won't change a thing, except it'll cause you problems. But don't worry. Hey, since I believe God, I'm not going to spend my life worrying. Secondly, since I believe God, I've got a positive outlook on life. A positive outlook on life. Now you think about it. You say, what do you mean? I believe everything's going to be all right. And I've said that plenty of times. Hey, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Little things. I can remember times we'd be practicing for some kind of program. And it was disastrous. But I remember thinking, this ain't in my hands. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. So what makes you think, well, it'll be all right? Well, first of all, the Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 10, that our Lord knows the end from the beginning. Do you realize that? He knows the end from the beginning. Now, he knows what's going to take place. We're here at the beginning, and we're wondering, how's it going to go? How's it going to work out? God already knows. He knows what lies over the hill. He knows what's around the curve. So I'm going to just trust him, and I'm going to have a positive outlook about things. Look, I'm not in control. You say, I'm the captain of my life. Not me, buddy. I'm not in control. I half the time I wonder, what's going on? But I'm so glad that he's in control. He's in control. Not me. I'm not the pilot, okay? I'm not the pilot. He's in control. And he's got it in charge. There's a verse in the Bible that people often resort to in times of crisis or in times of tragedy. And that is the verse Romans 8:28. How many times have you had people quote that or you hear somebody? Now, I think you need to be careful. When somebody's going through heartbreak and somebody's going through tragedy and suffering, I think you need to be real careful about giving them that verse. You need to be real careful of just kind of blandly throwing that out there. But I want you to look at it with me. Here's what it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Can I say this to you? That verse is applicable to me and you every day of the year. Every day of the year. It's not just when you're looking around thinking, well, what's going on? No, it applies every day. It's true every day. The Lord, we know that all things work together for good. All of them do. They work out. To me, that says everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. Well, preacher, look how bad it looks. Hang in there. Everything's going to be all right. Why? Because he's in control. He's in control. Hey, I'm going to have a positive outlook in life. My job is not to understand everything that goes on around me. I don't know how many times I will say, I probably said to Brother Dunbar, I know I've talked to my wife many times and said, you know, I don't understand why that person does what they do. I don't understand why that parent does what they do. But I don't have to understand it. I don't have to understand all those things. All I have to do is believe what God says. I just need to believe what he says. And if you'll do that, I believe it'll give you a positive outlook on life because you'll realize everything's going to be okay. You say, well, wait a minute. I know a lot of times everything wasn't. People lost their life. If you're a child of God, that's okay. That's okay. Okay? It is okay. I want you to understand, my job, your job, it's to do our best and leave him with the rest. Just do our best. We sang that song, Hear Ye the Master's Call, Give Me Thy Best. That's what God wants out of all of us, every one of us. He doesn't want us to sit here and say, okay, Lord, I'm figuring it all out. Going to figure out how it's going to work. No, you need to quit worrying about that. You need to develop a real positive outlook and realize everything's going to be okay, no matter how dark the night may seem and how difficult the time may be. Everything's going to be all right because my God, all right, my God has said to me that he works everything for good to them that love the Lord. To them that love the Lord. Hey, since I believe God, I'm not going to spend my life worrying. Since I believe God, I'm going to have a positive outlook. Third thing, since I believe God, I've got a purpose for life. I've got a purpose for life. You do too. Your purpose, you said, what is it? To follow him. Follow him. His instruction is follow me. Follow me. Remember where the Bible says he gave us the Holy Spirit? What did he give us the Holy Spirit for? Well, so we could shout and jump a pew, fall on the floor and out of control? Oh, no, no, no. None of that. The Bible said he gave you the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. He gave us the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit in us, okay? He's there, and I am to follow him. Now, the problem is we lose sight of that, and we push him out of the way and say, I'll make the decision. No, what we need to do is say, Lord, I need you to help me. I need to know what to do. I need to know where you want me to go. Some people think the only people need to pray that prayer is missionaries. Lord, what part of the world do you want me to go to? Hey, God wants to direct your life right here. It's not just for something you do, just for, Lord, you want me to be a missionary? Okay, you show me where. Hey, he wants to direct your life here. He wants to help you in your choices here. You need to let him do that. And if you'll do it, you'll discover, hey, I've got a purpose for life. My purpose is to follow him. Every child of God is called to follow him. We're not just another bug that's crawling around until you get stepped on, all right? That's not why you're here. God put you here. You've got a duty to follow him and to labor for him, to serve him. Hey, we're laboring here for a reward there. A reward there. This time right here is very short. Very short. I told somebody I'm going through the 20 longest weeks of my life right now. He said, why? This stupid diet I'm on. I'm obligated for 20 weeks. Man, when I was a kid in the summer, 20 weeks was gone just like that. How about you? Man, as an adult, 20 years have gone just like that, all right? They've passed, they're gone. Hey, this life is short. I'm going to tell you something. Eternity is going to be a long, long time. We're laboring here for a reward there. If you turn to Romans 8, if you didn't turn there now, all right? Romans chapter 8, I want you to look at verse 18. Oh, notice what the Apostle Paul put in here. Look, we have a purpose for life. What he says in Romans 8, verse 18, "For I reckon," good southern word, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Oh, what a promise. Hey, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, hey, what you go through here is not a drop in the bucket for the reward that's coming as you serve Him. If you suffer a little bit for the cause of Christ, so be it. Now, most of us haven't suffered very much. Let's be honest. I mean, I've had a kid squirt me with a water hose visiting the bus route one day. That's not suffering. It was a hot day. It really felt pretty good, all right? I've leaned up against the post holding up the porch visiting a bus route. I think I could take you right now to the house over in Diamond Hill where that happened. And I didn't know it, and later on I got home and somebody said something to me. I had a white stripe down one side of my back. Why didn't they tell me the paint was wet, all right? That's suffering. One of my very favorite suits. I jumped out of the bus one Sunday morning, slipped, hit the ground, took out both knees on those pants. Suffering for Jesus. Oh no, hey, the sufferings of this present world, they're not to be compared with the glory that the Bible says is going to be revealed in us. Hey, I'm telling you here, I believe God, and because I believe Him, I've got a purpose for life. I'm trying to follow Him. I want to know what you want me to do. I want to know how you want me to live. You say, "Preacher, that's because you're in full-time service." Every child of God ought to be interested in, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" That means you're in full-time service. It means you're full-time faithful to Him. What do you want me to do? You've got a purpose in life. You're not just here marking time, okay? Hey, I believe that. So I'm just going to keep on going until the Lord says, "You're done. You're done." You're going to keep on going. I believe Him. Since I believe Him, I got a purpose for life. Hey, since I believe Him, I've opted to be happy. I've opted to be happy. So what do you mean? I mean I chose to be happy. Take your Bible back to Proverbs, would you? Back to Proverbs. My dad used to say, happiness depends upon what happens. And understand that saying, but the truth of the matter is, I believe you can choose to be happy. I just believe you can choose happiness if you want to. Proverbs 16, if we'll look at verse 20, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord," here it is, "happy is he." For who? The guy that trusts in the Lord. One that trusts in Him. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 18. The Bible says, "Where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Happy is he. You see, I found out something as a kid. I learned as a kid that there's more happiness to be found in obedience than there is in disobedience. Let me say that again. As a kid, I found out there's more happiness to be found in obedience than there is in disobedience. I give you an example. When I was a kid in the ninth grade, I was in Algebra 1. Mrs. Kane was the teacher. Mrs. Kane is not my favorite teacher. I love math in spite of Mrs. Kane. All right. She was hard to get along with. Unless He just did what she said. Hey, could I point out that's called obedience? Obedience. There was a girl in that class. I sat about five, six rows over, closer to the back than the front. The girl sat on about the second row over front seat, constantly disobeying. Now, I'm glad I had enough sense to look at her and go, y'all excuse this, y'all may think it's a bad word. You're stupid. She was never happy. She was never happy in that class. Now, I did not like Mrs. Kane, but I was happy. Okay? Because I chose obedience. I chose obedience. You see, I grew up in a house. I grew up in a strange house. I grew up in a house where mom and dad ran the show. You said, well, what about your vote? What? We didn't get a vote. We didn't get a vote. I mean, they never came to me and asked, what are you? No, it was, here's the way it's going to be. Here's the way it's going to be. I grew up in that kind of stultifying atmosphere, and it had its effect on me. That's why I'm a nervous wreck today. No, I learned if I'll obey, I can be happy. You said you always obey? Of course not. I was a kid. I disobey. And I had my brother who's not here to defend himself, so I'll say whatever I want to about him tonight. I had my brother to get me in all kinds of trouble. Actually, we didn't need any encouragement. Together, we could get into a lot of problems. And there were many times that, boy, we heard the belt sliding through the belt loops. And mom or dad, whichever one was around, and we had disobeyed, they administered, and we found out, hey, this disobedience thing's not much fun. And I found out, but I can be happy if I want to. I can be happy if I want to. Now, if I wanted to, I could swell up. Man, just swell up, cross your arms, poot your lip out. I could be as unhappy as I wanted to be for as long as I wanted to be unhappy. Or I could decide, okay, I'm going to do what you say. Hey, I chose to be happiness. I chose happiness. I found out, I don't know about y'all, but it's more fun being happy. Have y'all noticed that? I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy being happy. I found out trusting God led me to happiness. Trusting Him led me to be happy. Hey, it'll work that way in every believer's life. If you'll believe what God says and you'll obey Him, you will stumble into happiness even without looking for it. You'll find out trusting Him. Boy, it leads you to happiness. Obeying Him furthered that happiness. I just do what He said. I just do that. Man, it worked marvelously. Marvelously. You ever watch an individual that's trained animals? Y'all may not like this comparison, okay? But they may be a trained dogs, and I've seen dog acts on television in the circus and everything. And I've noticed, man, that dog, he'll do all those things and they'll slip him something. You ever notice that? There's a little treat. Slip him that treat. Now, they never did that when the dog would not do what the dog was supposed to do. But if he'd do it, you get that treat. And you know what? I never saw the dog spit it out and go, I don't want that. But instead, he took it, he ate it, he enjoyed it. He was happy. Hey, listen, why? Because they learned that happiness is found in that. Hey, by the way, happiness and contentment, I believe they go together. Here's what the Bible said. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Content. 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Content. Lord, I read that verse in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 where he says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Be content with what God's given you. Learn to be happy. Learn to be happy. Do you remember those times when you wanted something and you didn't get it? You wanted something and you didn't get it. There was one Christmas when I was a kid, I was probably about 10 years old, if I remember correctly. I wanted a new Bible. All I'd ever had before that was cheap, you know, dime store type Bibles that if you use them very much, they fall apart. Well, I wanted a good Bible. And that's what I asked for Christmas. And that Christmas, we decided we'll open our Christmas presents Christmas Eve. I was looking forward to getting that Bible, opened all my presents. There was no Bible there. I thought, you know, a fella in a Christian home and his dad's a preacher, the least they can do is give him a Bible. Now, I didn't say that, all right, because I wasn't stupid, okay? But I went to bed unhappy. But I got up the next morning. Guess what was under the tree? That brand new Bible. Hey, I was unhappy because I chose to be unhappy because I didn't get what I wanted when I wanted it. Well, stick your thumb in your mouth and suck on it a while, all right? It won't improve your situation. Won't help you. The Bible said learn to be content. You know, contented people are happy people. Happy people. You can go out and you can find folks that live out somewhere and they've got kind of a ramshackle house and nothing fancy about it and it's old and maybe even a little bit dilapidated. But you find those people live there, they love the Lord and they just want to serve Him and boy, God blesses them. That's the happiest crowd of folks you'll ever see. Go to the home, though, where it's rich. Man, an expensive home. They got all the stuff you could want, but they want more, and they're unhappy. Unhappy. I'm saying to you, if you believe God, it's your choice if you want to be happy. I've just decided I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be content. You say, well, what if you, is it, preacher, is it wrong to work to try to get more? No. But be content with what you got while that's what you got. I mean, that's fine. Nothing wrong. Hey, well, we're going to save and buy a new car. Nothing wrong with that. But don't be bitter and gripey and grumbly while you're laboring and saving to get the new one. Be thankful you still got one that runs, all right? Be content. You can opt to be happy. You can opt to be happy. Hey, because I believe God, I'm looking up. I am looking up. Now, I don't think I'm an optimist. Truthfully, I feel like I'm not a pessimist, but I'm a realist. Really not an optimist. But believing God and believing what He said keeps me looking up. Conditions in the world are bad. Everybody say amen right there, preacher. It is bad. Things are not looking good for people that love the Lord and are sold out for Him. It's not looking good for Him, all right? It's becoming against the law in a lot of places to push your faith, if you will, over some other faith to people there. That's becoming illegal in many parts of the world. I got a letter this last week from a missionary week before last, from a missionary in Australia, and he's never been to this church, but he sent me his letter, and I've read it for years, and uh, he He wrote in that letter that in their province, in that area, the laws have been passed. He said, I don't know what it's going to do to us. He said, we're going to keep doing what we've been doing, but basically that law makes it illegal for them to, if anybody were to complain, you think your religion is better than mine, and they'd be in trouble. Could be thrown out of the country. Hey, those kind of laws are being passed. Those kind of laws are being passed. There are things in Canada that's illegal for you to preach the Bible truth on some issues in Canada. It's illegal to do it. It is illegal in Russia to proselyte. It's illegal for you to do that. For you to go after somebody else, try to witness to them and win them the Lord and get them to come to the church you go to. It's illegal there to do it. The missionaries over there are walking a tightrope, okay? Our own country seems to move further and further away from its foundational principles, without a doubt. Without a doubt, all right? All that, though, is good news to the Bible believer. You say, no, it's bad news. No, all of that is good news. See, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to read some verses. You're going to say, boy, I've heard that a lot, heard it preached from a lot. Good. Probably hear it preached from again, you know. And I'm sure you will if the Lord leaves us here long enough for that. But 2 Timothy, if you will, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Notice what the Bible says there, beginning in verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying their power thereof. From such turn away. Boy, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and first half of verse 5 sounds like the front page of every newspaper, doesn't it? Sounds like every newscast that you hear. That's about as good a description as you can find of the day in which we live. But that's not bad news. That's good news. That means the Lord's return is just that much closer. That much closer. Say, so what are you saying? I'm saying I'm looking up. I'm looking up. So what if he doesn't come? I'm still looking up, all right? I realize that I've got more years behind me than I do ahead of me. I am relatively certain I will not live to be 120. Relatively certain. All right? So I've got more years behind me than I do ahead of me. That's all right. Heaven just gets more real all the time. All the time. And because I believe God, I'm going to keep looking up, man. I'm going to keep looking up. The last thing, if you've been hoping for the last, here it is. Because I believe God, I shall not be moved. Because I believe what God says, I shall not be moved. Since I believe him, I'm not going to change what I've believed for 60 plus years. I'm not going to change that. God's word hasn't changed. Hasn't changed one bit. My doctrine comes from this book. I believe what God says because my doctrine comes from a book that hasn't changed. My doctrine has not changed. Hasn't changed. My practice doesn't need to change. How I live, not going to change. Well, preacher, man, it's a new day. Whoopee. But I got an old book. And that old book's just as true as it's ever been. I'm not going to change. You say, well, certain theologians have decided. Who cares? But science says, yeah, they've been wrong so many times. I'm not going to worry about them now. I'm not going to worry about what they're doing. They are spending multiplied billions of dollars shooting satellites, shooting telescopes into the far reaches of space so they can view and, as they say, we'll be able to understand the better the beginning of time. Ain't gonna happen. Not gonna happen. Hey, they've been wrong. I don't care what science says. I don't care what some theologian has invented. I don't care what some philosopher or some psychologist says. Hey, I believe God and I'm not going to change, all right? Just not going to do it. I'm determined that I'll not be shaken by the winds of adversity that beat against the Bible believer today. Oh, I know how it is. The world wants us to adapt to them. The world says to you and I, accept us. You need to tolerate us. But they don't think they need to tolerate. They don't think they need to tolerate us. But they want us to tolerate them. Hey, I'm not going to change, all right? The big problem is the world will do none of that for the obedient child of God. They'll not accept you. They will not tolerate you. They will not adapt to you. But they expect us to do that for them. The world of science, when a scientist gets up and defies the favorite philosophy of science, which is evolution, man, that scientist becomes an outcast. They won't listen to him. They won't consider him because you don't fit our mold, buddy. Hey, I got news for you. I'm not going to change. Everything I believe is grounded firmly in this King James Bible right here. Everything I believe. Everything new that comes out, I think about it and I say, how does that line up with Bible principles? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible have to say about it? If it's a new style, if it's so-called new music, I don't care what it is. How does it line up with Bible principles? Can I ask you, why in the world would you want to change? Why in the world would you want to change? If you could buy a car that would never wear out, you'd never need to put a different set of tires on it, you wouldn't even have to change the oil, you'd never have to take it to the shop. Never. The seats never got worn. The paint job never faded. And it dead sure didn't flake off, all right? If you could have a car like that, how quick would you be to say, let's get a new one? Wouldn't you want to stick with it? Well, man, that's out of date. Yeah, how much money you spend on upkeep for your vehicle lately? Well, how much you spend? Not a dime. Not a dime. Wouldn't you hang on to that? Why do you want to change what you believe? Why do you get moved from a Bible position? Why would you get moved from a Bible position? Why would you let that happen? I want to tell you this, it's so much better to be grounded in the truth of the Word of God than it is in the theories, the guesswork, or the opinions of a lost and dying world. Let's stick with the truth we've got. Hey, I believe God. He hadn't changed. I'm not changing. Well, preacher, you're old and outdated. Amen. But I believe this book, it's still true. It hadn't changed. It hadn't changed. You can toss out whatever you want to. I ask you tonight, if you believe God, how much does it affect you? How much does it affect your actions, your daily life? If somebody who was just an absolute unbiased observer were to come along and take a look at you and your life, whose marks would show up the most in your life? Would it be the world? Has it put its imprint on you? Or would it be God and His Word? Where would the marks in your life, where would they line up? Hey, I believe him. I believe him. Because I believe him, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy. Say, preacher, you're never sad. I didn't say that. But I'm going to tell you, by and large, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy. God's been good. I do not understand everything he does, but I believe him. I believe him. And because I believe him, you know what I believe? Go back to Acts chapter 27, would you? You thought, well, he left it never to return. Well, we're going back there. Acts chapter 27. Here's what Paul said. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, God didn't tell me my ship was going to sink, but everybody in it would be all right. But when I go through this book, he tells me one thing after another. You know what? I believe him. I believe it's going to be even as it was told me. He's going to do exactly what he said. So I don't need to worry. I can be happy. I can look up. I can have an optimistic view of life. And I sure don't need to change, all right? He said, well, I found a better way. Don't bother me with it. Don't want to waste my time. I found the best. And it's doing what this book right here says. Paul said, I believe it. He's going to do what he said. I believe it because I believe it. It's affected me. How much does it affect you? Every day. Not just Sunday. I think a lot of Christians, the only thing it affects them is it gives them something to do on Sunday morning. They show up at church on Sunday morning, do their religious thing. You don't see them any other time of the week. They don't come Sunday night. They don't come Wednesday night. They're never involved in soul winning, visitation. They're never involved in prayer meetings. They don't come to revival meetings. Don't come to mission conference. I show up on Sunday, though, most of the time. Hey, I'm glad that what I believe has affected me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm glad that what I believe affected me when I was a teenager. I'm glad that what I believe affected me when I was in my 20s. I'm glad that what I believe has given us a marriage that we're both relatively happy with. No, we're happy. Why? We chose to be happy. Chose. Why? Because I believe him. How's it affected you? Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, I'm so glad Paul said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Lord, in my lifetime, I can look back and say, I believed you, Lord. And it's always been like you said. You've always done what you said you'd do. And Lord, because of that, how it's affected my life as I believed you and trusted you. Lord, thank you for that effect. But Lord, I worry about other Christians that seem to just spend their life worrying and concerned and twisting their hands. They're not happy. They're not content. Lord, they're downcast. They're discouraged. Lord, they don't need to be. Would you help us to believe you and let it change us for eternity? In Jesus' name I pray.